So we are continuing our series on relationships called It's Still Complicated, But It Doesn't Have to Be. Still complicated, but it doesn't have to be. And so we're exploring these different dynamics of relationships that can often be difficult to walk through. And one cool thing that we're going to do at the end of this sermon series is we're going to do a Q&A sermon style type of message at the end of the series, where we're going to be answering maybe some pertinent questions and some pressing questions that you might have, that you might want to ask about, you know, the different dynamics of this relationship series that we're on. And so the way that you can submit your questions is by downloading our app from the App Store. So just type in the Bridge Church VA, look for our logo. You'll find that there's quite a few different other churches named the Bridge Church, but there's not one like us. I just want y'all to know, like, we different. We built different a little bit. But go on the app, go on the app, and you'll find up there a way to be able to submit those questions for us to answer. So we're going to go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7. And today's message, when you hear the title, you may think, for some of you, like, okay, this doesn't apply to me. And I want you to understand, no, it applies to all of us because it's the Word of God. And so anything that God speaks in His Word, it applies to all of us, no matter where we are, no matter what season of life that we're in. But I want you to also know that the Word that we're going to get today is not just for us, but it's also for other people. So even if it specifically may not apply to you with where you are right now, there is somebody that you might know that you can encourage in this. Amen, somebody? And so I want to encourage us to lean all the way in. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is kind of our main verse for today. Here's what the Apostle Paul is saying to the church of Corinth as they had some questions about relationships, about marriage, about sexual purity, things of that nature. Here's what he says. He says, I wish that all people were single as I am. Yet, each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. But I wish everyone were single, New Living Translation says that, just as I am. Yet, each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. So today, as we continue our relationship series, I want to preach from this theme in thought, the significance of singleness. The significance of singleness. I want you to tell the person as you go to your seat, singleness is significant. It's significant. It's important. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and goodness, for who you are, for all you've done. God, we are gathered here just as your people, and maybe some of us are here today that don't know you, don't have a relationship with you through faith in Christ. I pray that today, that even for those of us who might be far from you, that today we would come to know your love and receive your grace. Would you speak to us in a fresh way, in a renewed way, that we would leave this place better than how we came. We thank you and we love you because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Amen. You can be seated in this place. The significance of singleness. Found a recent poll, recent statistic that the CDC shared not too long ago. And the statistic that was shared was that nearly 50% of Americans are single. Just to be more specific, number-wise, that number comes out to about 126.9 million people out of the 329.5 million people that make up this country. In other words, almost half the people in this country, half the people online, half the people who are in this room right now, according to statistics in the CDC, are single. And singleness is something that can be complex and kind of polarizing, which we'll get into in a moment. But one of the things that I wanted to do to kind of help us to see off the bat the significance of singleness is to maybe highlight a few specifically well-known fictitious characters that many of you might be familiar with who are single. And since this is Women's History Month, shout out to all the incredible women here who are making a difference. Come on, y'all, make some noise. Since it's Women's History Month, I figured I would highlight some incredible, fictitious, single women. Here's the first person many of you all may be familiar with. We got a picture, I think, up here on the screen. But this is a fairly new character that some of us might be introduced to, might have been introduced to a few years ago. It's not up here yet. But four people that I want to look at, that I want to emphasize. First character is a character from the movie Black Panther that many of us might be familiar with, and her name is Shuri. Y'all know about her? There she go right there. Look. She got just mean mug on her face, like ready to put in work and ready to come against Killmonger. She got them little blasters right there, putting in work. But then there's another character that some of us might be familiar with, and her name is Mulan. And if you've seen Mulan, if you maybe seen the new adaptation of Mulan, Mulan don't play no games. Not one bit. Don't try her. You see that sword? She ain't playing no games. And for some of us, you might be like, Pastor, okay, you know, that's kind of current and you know, and that's within the past few years. So I'm gonna reach way back. Well, not too far way back, but I'm gonna kind of reach some years back. And there's another woman, and I became familiar with this particular fictional single character because my grandmother used to watch her show all the time. And her name is Jessica Fletcher from Murder, She Wrote. How many of y'all know who that is? Come on, where are my Murder, She Wrote people at? Where y'all at in here? Yeah. My grandma used to watch her all the time. Pop a bag of popcorn. Come on, boy, sit in here and watch this with me. She ain't playing no games neither. Mm-mm. But there is one iconic fictional character, single woman, who might take the cake in all of the ones that I've mentioned here. I'm talking, this particular person is on another level. They are different. They have made history. They have made a profound impact. And that is the character by the name of Shanaynay. From the show Martin. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Right. How many of y'all know about Shanaynay? I think I had to make y'all laugh a little bit. Y'all a little tight, you know, lost an hour of sleep, so open us up a little bit. But in all seriousness, bless God for the many, not fictitious, but real women who have changed lives and have raised families and have made history and have made strides and have broken down barriers. Shout out to all the incredible, especially women of God, made a difference, especially those who may be single. So when we talk about this topic of singleness, it's polarizing, as I mentioned earlier, in many ways. Because in today's time, you know, somebody might approach you, and if they find out you're single, they might have this, whether they say it or not, they may have this disposition. What's wrong with you? Why you ain't got nobody that you with? Why you not dating nobody? Why you not married to anybody? Oftentimes, because the pressure of culture is that there's something wrong with you if you are single. It's like singleness is a disease or something. It's like COVID, avoided at all costs. Singleness is looked at and frowned upon in many ways. And I think the reason why is because I've discovered this, is that culture places more emphasis on finding the right person, but Jesus places more emphasis on becoming the right person. Culture is all about you gotta be with somebody, you gotta find somebody. But in Scripture, there's more emphasis on becoming the right person than finding the right person. Which means this, you don't have to live your life trying to find the person, quote unquote, that you're supposed to be with. But rather, you and I should spend our lives, especially if we're single, not on finding the right person, but on becoming the right person. And that there's nothing wrong with you if you don't have a person on your arm or a ring on your finger. And we're going to get into it right now, but unfortunately, because of how single is approaching our day and time, for many, being single is complicated. And even after years of being single for some time, maybe it's still complicated. So for some of us who might be single right now and you're watching online, maybe you've been single for all your life. Never been married, never dated anybody, whatever the case may be, or maybe you were in different relationship status and you find yourself maybe single now, and now you feel like you're battling feelings of loneliness, and you feel like you might be overlooked, and you feel as if you might not be valued. But before we kind of get into some of these things that I want to lean into today, we gotta define what does it mean to be single. According to Scripture, biblically speaking, being single means to be unmarried. In other words, unless you have stood before a pastor or a judge and said, I do, you and I are still single. So if you are dating somebody, that's cool, but you're still single. If you're engaged, awesome, congratulations, still single. Don't matter how long, been dating them. Just met yesterday online, cool, whatever. Still single. And as the old, as the sitcom from the mid-90s, Living Single, you are living. You single. You single. You single. Might been dating for some time. You single. Single means that I'm unmarried. And the thing that I think sometimes makes single somewhat complicated, if we do it the world's way, is because it has many complexities. So you might be single with children. You might be single following the pain of a divorce. You might be single due to your spouse passing away and the pain that may come with that. You might be a widow. You might be a college student or a young adult who's single right now. You might be an older adult who is single right now. And in the midst of it being complex, because of the perspectives that aren't rooted in Scripture in our culture, singleness oftentimes becomes complicated. Why, Pastor Edwin? I'm glad you asked. Here's why. Because I think culture gives us kind of two extreme thoughts when it comes to singleness. One thought and one perspective is this, that singleness, it should be avoided. So it becomes more complicated maybe than it should be is because some kind of function from this train of thought that singleness should be avoided. In other words, if you're single, there's something wrong with you. If you're single past a certain age, there's something wrong with you. If you're single, that means you're not complete. It means that you can't be fulfilled if you're single, which is why there's so many love and romance movies and the goal is to be with somebody. So there's this prevailing thought that singleness should be avoided. Shouldn't have anything to do with it. But then there's another thought that's extreme. That not only is it to be avoided, according to culture, if it's not avoided, it should be, write this down, take a screenshot, exploited. What do I mean by that? It means this. If you're single, turn up. Go do whatever you want to do. Sleep with whoever you want to sleep with. Do whatever you want to do. Sow your wild oats, as they say. Live your best life. It's all about you. You only live once, YOLO. Come on, you taking the Israel new breed to a whole new level. No limits, no boundaries. I see increase all around me. So if it's not avoided, it's exploited. And because of these extremes, it leads to oftentimes tragic results. Drama, frustration, broken hearts, unforeseen events, missed opportunities, lack of joy, lack of fulfillment, lack of satisfaction. Why, Pastor Edwin, are you saying this? Because these two perspectives are extreme in nature, avoided or exploited. And I want you to understand this. Wherever there are extremes, there will always be errors. And because both of these perspectives are extreme, they are in error. I need you to get that. Avoid extremes. Because if there's an extreme, more than likely something is swinging more one way or more the other. That usually is not where God is. And oftentimes what happens is if we find ourselves adopting this perspective of being I should avoid it, so I just need to find somebody that I can be with? Even if I don't like them, I just want to be with somebody? Or I just exploded, I'm gonna go do my own thing. And being single culture's way often makes singleness more complicated than it has to be. But God, in his goodness and in his grace, here in the scripture, actually helps us to see singleness from his perspective, which is the best way. He helps us to see that there is actually a significance to singleness. And I want to contrast two perspectives of God from this scripture with the two perspectives of culture that I just mentioned here. Because while culture will say that singleness is like a curse and it should be avoided, I want you to write this down, in scripture and in God's eyes, singleness is significant because singleness is a good gift from God. You don't believe what I'm saying? Here's what 1 Corinthians 7 says, our main scripture. But I wish, as the Apostle Paul, everyone were single just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. Paul is helping the believers here in Corinth to understand. I need you to get this online too. That just as marriage is a gift, singleness is a gift. And that word gift in the original Greek language of the New Testament is the Greek word charisma, which means grace gift. Which means God has given you the ability and the strength and the wherewithal to be able to do this the right way. If God has graced you to be married, that means he's given you the grace and the ability to be able to have a fruitful, flourishing, successful marriage. If God has given you the grace and you find yourself single, it also means that God has given you the grace and the strength and the anointing and the wherewithal to be successfully single. Which means that as a single person, no matter where you find yourself, no matter what the complexity and the layer of it may be, you can be satisfied while still single. Because do not misinterpret the lie of culture which says once you get married that you'll be satisfied. Can I be honest with you? I've been alive for 36 years. I've seen many marriages where there was not satisfaction. Just because you got somebody don't mean you got satisfaction. Because relationship status does not determine significance. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Relationship status, who you with, does not determine your value. That's why there was a very strong colloquial term and phrase that says, I can do bad all by myself. I don't need you to do that. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all looking at me real stiff right now. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But in other words, it's a gift. Which means if it's a gift, it's not a curse. It's not a burden. If God gave it, it is good. But in our culture, for many, being single is looked upon as being less than or not valuable. But Paul is saying the opposite. He says, it's a gift. He says, I wish all y'all had this gift. I'm living my best life. He won't live it recklessly, though. We'll get into that in a moment. He says, I wish I had this gift too. And I'm sure people who were following the Lord and who were in marriage will also say the same thing. And here's the reason why. Because they had this perspective that this thing is a gift from God. And whatever God gives, he always gives good gifts. Here's what James 1:17 says. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Which means this, we can't call bad what God has called good. Because any gift God gives is good, and it is for our good. And it's our perspective of the gifts that causes us to not appreciate them. I want you to write this down. Failing to see singleness as a gift leads to seeing singleness as a curse. If I don't see it as a gift from God, I will see it as a curse from God. And I think our culture has conditioned us to have this perspective. That if you're single, there's something wrong. But scripture says, no. And it's easy to think that as a single person that you're inadequate or that you are incomplete. Have y'all ever heard, maybe we've used the phrase ourselves. Maybe, if we could be honest, we've said this. This person, they complete me. You ever heard that? You ever said that maybe? Let me help you understand something. In Jesus Christ, you are already made whole. You don't need another person to complete you. What Jesus did on the cross was sufficient enough to complete you. Come on. Any person who's in Christ is a new creature. The old is gone. The new has come. A person does not complete you. What God does is he sends people to complement you, to walk alongside of you, to do what it is that he's called you to do. So if I'm looking, even if I'm married, and we're going to get into it over these next few weeks, even if I'm married and I'm looking to my spouse to complete me, I am putting on them things that they cannot do for me. Because the only one who can complete me, his name is Jesus. Jesus completes me, not my wife, not my husband, not my spouse-to-be, not the person that I'm dating, not my bae, not my boo. Whatever little cute name you got for them, they don't complete you. Somebody would say, no, boo-boo, they don't. They don't complete you. They compliment you. In Jesus, you are complete. Here's what 2 Peter 1:3 says this. His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. In other words, 2 Peter 1:3 says that. God has given me everything that I need to live the life that he's called me to live. So if God sees fit to bring somebody in my life, bless the Lord. But if God does not bring somebody in my life, it does not mean that I don't have value. How do we know that we have value no matter our relationship status? Because Jesus gave his life on the cross for you to set you and I free from our sin. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How can you tell whether or not you got value no matter your relationship status? Look at the cross. The cross is God's demonstrative act of grace and love to let you and I know that you and I are valuable and precious in his sight. I love what little kids say when they sing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We know that song, but I wonder if we believe that. Red, yellow, black, and white. Precious in his sight. We say that song, but then we don't love people who don't look like us. If Jesus loved them, and I'm supposed to be in Jesus, then I should be loving them too. Come on. But if we really believe and understand the words of that song, we say, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. So whether I'm dating somebody or not, I know God loves me. It would be great to be married. I wish I was married. But you know what? At the end of the day, if God doesn't want me to be married, if God doesn't have anybody for me right now, I'm good with that because he loves me. I will say what Paul says. I have learned the secret to be content in every season, in every situation, in every circumstance that I find myself in. Whether I'm married, I'm content. If God has given me the gift of singleness, I'm going to be content. I won't complain. I'll be content. And what happens oftentimes is because we don't see it as a curse, we will oftentimes miss the great things that God wants to do during this time in my life. And can I say this? Because culture will tell you otherwise. I'll let you in on a little biblical secret. Biblical. We don't let culture shape our understanding. We let the Bible shape it. I'm gonna let this be known. I'm gonna say it. Some of y'all might not like me. You might want to throw me out after this. Not everybody will be married. I know that was probably hard for some of us here. It may not be God's will for all of us to be married. And that's okay. Because God's will is not necessarily for every person to be married. Pastor Edwin, how can you say that God's will is not for everybody to be married? Didn't he say in Genesis chapter 2, it's not good for being alone? And yes, he did say that, but he was not just talking about romantic relationship. He was ultimately talking about companionship and friendship. And if we just limit it to just being married, then we miss the power of it. God's desire is that nobody will be alone. So even if I'm single, single does not mean be alone. And the good news of God is that there's many incredible biblical people all throughout Scripture who were single. I gave y'all fictitious ones, Janae. Martin, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. Why she's all like, oh my God. But you got biblical people who weren't married. John the Baptist, forerunner to Jesus. The Apostle Paul, the one who we're talking about here. Prophet Elijah from the Old Testament. Mary Magdalene, Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters. Woman by the name of Dorcas in the book of Acts. Anna. And most of all, Jesus. Y'all know Jesus won't marry. Now some of y'all who be real spiritual, he was married because the Bible says that we are the bride of Christ, Pastor. And that's somewhat true. But you know what I mean. As he was physically walking this earth for 33 years, he did not have a spouse physically. So if we were to apply the cultural narrative that in order to live a significant life, I got to have somebody on my arms, then that means Jesus was the most insignificant and less satisfied person ever in history. And we know that's not true. Jesus was single. So many other incredible people of God were single. And if you're single and if you find yourself cursing this time in your life, I want to invite you to see it as a gift. Because it is just like every day that you wake up is a gift from God. And we should bless God for it no matter what may come. If I'm single, if I'm a single mom, if I'm a single parent, if I'm a widow, if I'm single, I might be dating somebody. I want you to bless God for where you are. I want you to give God thanksgiving for where you are and for who he has made you to be. And here's what I want you to also understand. When God gives gifts, and this is important for us to get, and this is applicable to every area of life, not just relationships. I need you to lean in. When God gives gifts, there's oftentimes two characteristics that accompany those gifts. One is this word that I'm calling liberties. Everybody say liberties. But then there's also another L word that God gives that's a characteristic of the gifts that he gives, and that's called limitations. Everybody say limitations. So when it comes to his good gifts, there's often liberties that are associated with it, but then there's also limitations. And neither disqualifies the fact that the gift is still good. Liberty, limitation. Case in point, we get our son a bike for his birthday. He can ride his bike in the backyard. He can ride his bike up and down the street, supervised. All these different types of things, right? But what he is not allowed to do by law is ride his bike on the highway. Why? Because this item is not manufactured to be able to operate on a highway in a safe and reasonable way. Because harm can come to him who is riding the bike, but then harm can also come to those who are on the interstate in the proper vehicles. Let me help you understand what I'm trying to say here. When it comes to singleness, there are liberties, there's parameters. But then there's also limitations. Liberties. You ain't married. You can pick up and go whenever you want. It's just you. You borderline don't even got to pray about moving. I just feel like moving. I'm gone. you don't have to ask, do we got it in budget this month? There's liberties that you have. But then there's also limitations with that same gift. Which means if I'm single, then there's certain things that I can do, and then there's certain things I shouldn't be doing. So I should not be acting as if I'm married while I'm single. Some of y'all looking like, what do you mean, Pastor? Let me just get specific. It means that I should not be engaged in sexual activity as if I'm married when I'm single. That's what the Bible says. Now, before we sit up here and look our nose down on anybody up in here, I want you to take inventory of your own life. How many times have you taken liberties in areas of a gift that was actually some limitations? I know what God's saying. I know. I know what he said. But I'm I know, Pastor. God, I think he'll be all right with this one. Liberties, limitations. How do I know this to be true? You remember when God created, I keep going back to Genesis. You remember when God created Adam and Eve? He said, you guys got dominion and rulership over anything in this garden. You can eat from any tree, liberty. Y'all got all this, all this. Somebody say all this. Y'all got all this. Y'all got all this. One tree you can't eat, knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Don't touch it, don't mess with it. You eat it, you'll die. Everything else, all good. That's the only one that's off limits. Everything else, fair game. He gives liberty and limitation. And what is the enemy always trying to get us to do? He wants to tempt us so that way we take that limitation and try to turn it into a liberty. But you got to understand the reason why God places limitations with certain things is not because he's trying to keep something from you that can actually help you. He's trying to keep something from you that can actually harm you. He does it out of a place of love. So if I tell my son, son, you can't go ride your bike on I-64. I'm saying that from a place of love. Because I don't want to read about you on the news. God is the same way. He is a good, good father. Yes, he is. So he gives liberties, but he also gives limitations. And what happens is, and oftentimes I think where complications happen in relationships, whether you're single, whether you're dating, whether you're married, engaged, whatever the case may be, is when we begin to take liberty in areas where there should be limitation. And God says, no. It's a good gift. Use it the right way. Use it the right way. Liberty, limitation. I want you to write this down. Liberties are for my enjoyment. And limitations are for my betterment. So God says, hey, y'all enjoy. We told Adam and Eve, y'all can eat from any tree y'all want. Go enjoy. Enjoy. It's there. I put this there for you. Enjoy it. That's for the enjoyment. But then he puts a parameter around this knowledge of tree of good and evil and says, don't eat this. Limitation. This is for your betterment. And the question we got to ask ourselves, no matter where we find ourselves at, I'm not even just talking about relationships, I'm just talking about in life in general, are we in danger of using good gifts that God has given us the wrong way? So let me say it like this. We need freedom and accountability, because freedom with no accountability leads to recklessness. But accountability with no freedom leads to resentfulness. I see this in my parenting all the time with my kids. If I told all three of our kids right now, y'all can do whatever y'all want in the house. If we left the house for a few hours, hey, y'all in charge, y'all have fun, there's food here, there's food there, we got all the snacks, we got all the candy, we got Lucky Charms, we got Rice Krispies Treats, we got cookies, y'all just live it up. Y'all know what would happen. If we come back 2 hours later, the house will probably be burned down. Yeah. Kids be outside. I don't know what happened there. I don't even know. But the opposite is also true. If I wind them up so much and I tighten them up so much and I put so many boundaries in their life to the point where it begins to squeeze out any bit of joy and freedom, they begin to resent me. You don't let us do anything. Y'all heard that? Y'all said that? You said that to your mama and daddy, even when they were doing the right thing. You don't let me do anything. You mean you want me to let you drive the car off a cliff? You don't let me do nothing. Look, come on. We done made the kid. You don't let me do nothing. But God gives freedom, but also accountability. You need both. One's for our enjoyment, the other's for our betterment. Singleness is a good gift. Everybody say a good gift. It's a good gift from God, because God only gives good gifts. I can hear what some of you are saying, but Pastor, I'm tired of being alone. But as I said earlier, there's a difference between being single and being alone. Just because you are single does not mean you have to be alone. Which means this, you may be single, but you're not alone. And you don't have to be. And singleness is a gift to be enjoyed, not endured. So I don't have to walk around having this mentality, woe is me, everybody else getting married, 27 dresses, 27 tuxedos, I ain't getting none. No. Not one bit. Are there maybe some longings that you have?
Sure, absolutely.
Is there anything wrong with that? Not one bit.
Not one bit.
But don't allow that to cause you to miss the great thing that God has given you. It's a beautiful gift. Somebody say, I'm gifted. Come on, write in the chat, I'm gifted, I'm gifted. Because not only is it a good gift from God, here's the second point. Remember, the first perspective of culture says it should be avoided. The second perspective of culture says it should be exploited. I want to contrast that with the second thought from here in this scripture, that singleness is significant not just because it's a good gift from God, but singleness is also significant, write this down, because it is an opportunity to glorify God. So culture says exploit it. What scripture tells us is use it for God. So notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7. We're going to jump around to the latter part of chapter 7. Verse 32, he says this, an unmarried man or person can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking, watch this, how to please him. In other words, a single person can spend their time doing the Lord's work and thinking how best to please them, which means this, because singleness is a gift from God, it should also be used for God. I can say the same thing about marriage. Because marriage is a gift from God, it should also be used for God. I can apply that in any other sphere of my life. God has given me the ability and the gift to be able to speak and to be able to articulate. He's given me speaking skills. And because it is a gift from God, it should be used for God. Some of us, God has given you the ability to be able to conduct in a classroom. He's given you the ability to start a business. He's given you the ability to lead. Because it is a gift from God, it should be used for God. Because when God gives gifts, there's always an expectation of return gift to sender. Because our gifts are best utilized when they are returned back to him. So what do I mean by glorify God? It means this, that we devote our time, our resources, our energy, and our efforts aiming to live for God and to do his will. Glorifying God means this, I live for him and not myself. That's what it means. I don't live for myself any longer. I live for Jesus. And singleness, watch this, is an opportunity to glorify God, not satisfy myself. Singleness is an opportunity to glorify God, not satisfy myself. But pastor, you mean to just tell me I'm just supposed to go around and just praising God all day? Like, what satisfaction is that? You don't understand what I'm saying. Because the Bible says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. When you desire and you devote your life to living for him, you will experience the greatest joy that you've ever experienced in your life. And we know this with you. I can say this from my own experience because there's been multiple times where I tried to live my life according to my own standard and try to do my own thing. It left me feeling empty on the inside. But the path to fulfillment is to be devoted to God. I'm gonna live for you. I'm single, well, you know what? That means I got more time to point people to Jesus. That means I got more resources to point people to Jesus. Here's what 2 Corinthians 5:9 says. So we make it our goal or our aim to please him. Whether we're at home in the body, he's talking about heaven, or away from it. We make it our goal to please God. Do you know what the goal of our life should be? To please God. To please God. That's the goal of our life. What's the purpose of my life? Glorify God. Please God. I don't have to get God to love me. He's already demonstrated that in Christ Jesus, and I've received his love. And now because I've received his love, I want to live my life in a way and in a manner that says, God, thank you for the love that you've given me. So I want to live to please him. So what does this look like? Even if you are single and maybe dating, can I help us? Give us a dating tip real quick. If you're dating, I want you to ask this question. Does their character resemble Jesus? Are they connected to a local church?
No, I just watch online, you know what I'm saying? I watch the televangelist.
Okay. You got no church you connected to? Are they using their abilities to point people to Jesus? Are the two of you truly compatible? Right? That's on the spiritual side. That's the most important. If you don't get that, nothing else is going to work. I preached a message a few years ago called Foundation Issues. And if our foundation of our relationship is not built on Jesus, it will not last. No matter how long you might be in a relationship with that person, you might be in a relationship with a person for years and it will be miserable because the foundation got problems. Because it ain't built on Jesus. So that's the spiritual part.
But then you got the practical part. Do they got a job? They got Jesus. That's cool. Do they got a job? You know one of the first things that God gave Adam? A job. Work the garden. Work. Somebody say work.
Work.
So where you work at? I don't work at all. Oh, okay. Cool. I pray for you. I'm praying that God opens up a door for you. You got a job. Because if you're interested in dating, and remember the purpose, as we'll talk about next few weeks, the purpose of dating is to lead into marriage. If they can't take care of themselves, how are they going to help take care of you? Tragedies do happen. Yes, people do lose jobs. I get all that. I'm not talking about those tragic moments. I'm talking about character issues. You know, I don't believe in working. Oh! You believe in eating, though. And you better get a job because this gas price is high. You want me to? Do they got a job? Do they got some purpose and vision for their life? Are they, where are they going in life? Because if they ain't going nowhere, you know what? They're going to take you with them. Come on, I'm trying to give you some dating advice, some dating principles. And this is all a part of glorifying God. Let me say it like this, because what might be a minor headache in the single time, if it's not dealt with in marriage, it becomes a migraine. It becomes unbearable. And God be showing us all the red flags. They don't love Jesus, red flag. They might be good for somebody, but they ain't good for you. They talk down to people, red flag. We got to be able to examine. We do all this to glorify God. We use it to glorify God. And let me say it like this. I want you to write this down, especially for those of us, you know, maybe you're dating right now, you're looking online, you're going to different places. You know, some of y'all, you're in here right now, and you kind of even believe in, my spouse is here in this church right now. I believe that the Lord has somebody here in this place. I be seeing some of y'all. Y'all be in here like this. No, I'm lying. I'm messing. Some of y'all watching online right now, you're like, well, I see that person. They log on every week. Send them a DM. Hey, you know, what you think about Pastor Edwin's sermon? Are you in a connect group? You want to start one? You going to Growth Track at the service? All right, cool. I'll be there too. We're going to sit down next to each other. Right here, you know. COVID, you know, is spaced out right there. I'm looking. I'm messing. We got to ask ourselves the question. We look like Jesus. Glorify God in this season. I want you to write this down. I need us to get this one right now, because this is what culture will tell you to compromise and settle to be with people. Here's what the Bible will help you understand. Don't compromise your convictions for the sake of companionship. I want you to get that. Do not compromise your convictions for the sake of being with somebody. Because if you have to lower yourself to be with somebody, that tells you everything you need to know about who that person is. Come on. So don't settle. And some of us, maybe you've been single for some time. You're like, man, I hear you, Pastor Edwin, but I've been single for a minute. It gets hard. I get it. I understand. But what I also understand is what God has for you is so much more than you compromising and settling. Can I say it like this? You deserve better than to settle for less than what God has for you. So if that means you wait on the Lord, man. Oh, it's hard. Wait on the Lord, and during your waiting time, glorify God. Use your abilities, use your time, use your talents, use your resources. Use it to glorify God. Use it to honor God. Use it to please God. I want to go to a scripture, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. There's a scripture here that's very powerful about a single mom who actually was a widow. Husband passed away. 1 Kings chapter 17, the prophet Elijah sent by God. Verse 8, the Bible says this, 1 Kings 17. Then the word of the Lord came to him, talking about Elijah. Get up, go to Zarephath, that belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Look, I have commanded a woman who is a widow to provide for you there. So Elijah got up and went to Zarephath. When he arrived at the city gate, there was a widow gathering wood. And Elijah called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup and let me drink. Verse 11, as she went to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. Verse 12, but she said, as the Lord your God lives, I don't have anything baked, only a handful of flour in the jar and a bit of oil in the jug. Just now, watch what she says, y'all, because I think she can identify with what many of us may be dealing with and have dealt with. Just now, I'm gathering a couple of sticks in order to go prepare it for myself and my son so we can eat it and die. This woman is discouraged. She's a widow. Back in those days and times, women didn't work. It was all on the husband. So if the husband died, wives were left with almost nothing. She was a widow, and here she's caring for her son. She is a single mom. And the context in this story is that there's also a famine in the land that's happening. There's a drying up of resources. Oh, let me reverse it and flip it the same to help you see it like this. There is a premium on resources. Let me modernize it. Gas prices are high. Inflation is taking place. And she don't got enough resources. And she's discouraged and she wants to give up. I'm a single mom and you want me to do what? I barely got enough for us. We just gonna eat this and die. I'm carrying the weight of a whole family. But watch what verse 13 says. Then Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a small loaf from it and bring it out to me. Afterward, you may make some for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord of God of Israel says. The flour jar, watch this, will not become empty. And the oil jug will not run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the surface of the land. Watch verse 15. So she proceeded to do according to the word of Elijah. Then the woman Elijah and her household ate for many days. The flour jar did not become empty and the oil jug did not run dry according to the word of the Lord he had spoken through Elijah. And I just want to encourage any of you who are in here today, you're a single parent, you're a single mom, you're single, whatever the case may be, you're a widow, you've been going through so much, resources have dried up. I want you to understand that just as God saw this widow here at Zarephath and provided for her, he sees your state, he sees where you are, he knows what you're going through, and he said, just as I provided for her back then, I'm also the same God who provides today. I'm also the same God who will meet every single need that you have in your life. It does not matter what you might be facing right now. God says, I am the God who provides. And I want to give a shout out to all the single parents in here. You are doing the best that you can. You've been sacrificing. You've been giving up time. Come on. You're doing this. You're doing that. And you feel weary at times, and you've wanted to give up, but I believe that God has a word for you today to say, don't you dare give up. I'm with you. I see you. I'm providing for you. I'll send resources. I'll send people. She wanted to give up due to the hardship, but God, through Elijah, met her where she was, provided for her through her trusting God. She glorified God with what she had. She brought her resources. She brought her time. She brought her faith. She brought everything she had. She said, God, I'm going to trust you. There's another incident. There's another situation in the book of Mark. We don't have time to read it, but I'll paraphrase in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Jesus is in the temple with some of his disciples, and he sees people putting offerings in the temple treasury, and he sees them putting in large sums of money. He says nothing about it, but then he sees a poor widow, meaning once again that she also has lost her husband. The text doesn't say if she has family or not, but the Bible says that she puts two small pennies in the temple treasury, and he says, this woman has given more than anybody else here who's given more in amount, because she gave all that she had to live on. She said, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm single, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to use my resources for you. The Bible doesn't tell us what happened with her, but I believe the same thing happened to her that happened to the widow back in 1 Kings 17. God provided for her. God met her need. Because the opportunity that we have when being single is I got this opportunity. I can glorify God with whatever it is that I have. Because being single is an opportunity, I want you to get this, to cultivate my oneness with God. It's an opportunity to cultivate oneness with God. So I might not be one with a person, but it's the time to cultivate oneness with God. And here's what Jesus says in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be provided and added to you. Can I help you understand this? This is for those of us who might be single, you might be a young adult, you might be a high school student, you might be a middle school student, you might be divorced, you might be a single parent, you might be widowed. I want you to understand something about marriage. And for those of us who are married, I want you to get this too. Marriage isn't the goal of singleness. Following Jesus is. The goal is not to get with somebody. The goal is to be on one accord with God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will be added. The goal of my life is not to find my boo, it's not to find the person of my dreams, no matter how much it's romanticized, no matter how many love songs are talked about. Sick of being lonely, all this stuff. God says, no. Your significance is found not in a person on your arm, but a person that's in your life, and that person is him. It's him. And while you might be on your journey of following Jesus, if he brings someone alongside you, praise God. You know what's interesting about the book of Genesis? I'm going back there again. Adam never asked God for a wife. Go back and read it. You don't believe me? Go back and read it. He never, hey God, I'm naming all these animals. They got a companion. Where am I? He might have had a longing, but he never, God, send me Eve. Send me a woman. Send me my spouse. No. You know what his focus was? Being faithful to this garden. I'm going to tend to what you have put in my hands. And the Bible says, and then God said, it's not good for him to be alone. And the Bible says he put him to sleep. And when he woke up, he saw Eve. Ain't that just like God? That when you are focused on Jesus and seeking after him, you are so singular focused, and then all of a sudden you bump into somebody. Ooh, you might. I might have found him. But your focus was not them, it was him. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going on dating websites. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with, you know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with acting on that. Here's what I'm trying to help us understand. The focus of my life should not be on that. The focus of my life should be on pursuing Jesus. I'm going to close with this thought and this story. A friend of ours who's single, been single for many years, and she's right around maybe early 30s, whatever the case may be. And while she knows other people around her who've been getting married and things of that nature and been really supportive, she shared how this summer she's going on this missions trip across the world in another country, in the UK, which, by the way, how much are you hearing from God to go on that side of the world in a time like now? She says, I'm going to go on a missions trip. She's going to be there for a number of months. So she was asking for financial support. Ariel and I felt immediately like, man, we want to sow into her. Because while she could be sulking in her singleness, she's using it to glorify God. And she's more faithful to God than some married couples that we know. Because she's devoted herself. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to go across the world to help people know Jesus who don't know Jesus. I'm going to use my gifts and my abilities to teach people the gospel and to share with people the hope of the world. Because if there's a time where people need the hope of the world, it is right now for sure. Especially on that side of the world with all the things that are happening in Ukraine and the things that's happened with Russia. Man, while so many people are running away, there's a remnant of people that God is saying, I'm sending you there. And I want you to know that if you're single today, no matter the complexity of it, I want you to know that God is
for you, that God is with you. He has purpose for you. You are not second class. You are not second tier. You are not less than. You are called to be a world changer. You are called to be a kingdom mover. How can I say that? Because Jesus was the most single, the most satisfied, the most significant person. For 33 years, he was single, did not be in a relationship with anybody else, but went to the cross and shed his blood so that way all of our sins, past, present, and future, will be washed away. But loved you so much that he didn't stay there, but on the third day, he raised with all power in his hands to help us to understand that no matter your relationship status, no matter if you're single or wed to somebody, you can live a life of significance. And I wonder if some of the people that we praise God for here in the scriptures who are single, if they would have made the same impact if they were married. Bless God for those who have embraced where they are, whether they are married or not, to say, God, I'm going to use this for you, because they're following in the pattern of Jesus. And I want you to understand this, even if you feel alone, come on, I want you to understand this, even if you feel alone, Jesus will say, I know what that feels like. The Bible says that we don't have a high priest who can't empathize and sympathize with our weaknesses, but rather we got somebody who can understand where we've been. He said on the cross, Father, why have you forsaken me in this moment? He felt alone for the first time in all of eternity. Why? Because he took upon himself our sins and our weight, the very thing that separates us from God. But Jesus experienced loneliness so that now through him, we can experience closeness with God. Which means this, it does not matter where you are right now. God says, I am for you. God says, I am with you. Your life has meaning, your life has value, your life has significance. And you don't have to feel the pressure of culture and maybe even other well-meaning Christians. All you have to do is be focused on who God's called you to be. See it as a gift. See it as an opportunity to glorify him. So yes, you might be single, but you're not alone. I want us all to say this, whether you're married or single, but especially for those of us who are married, because I want us to understand this, that we have brothers and sisters of all different types of complexities, different seasons of life. We are one in Christ Jesus. I praise God for my single brothers and sisters in Christ. I praise God for my married brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all one. There is no one who is better than the other. Just because you are married does not make you better than anybody else. And just because you're single does not make you better than anybody else. We are all, the Bible says, one in Christ Jesus. But I want us to say this together, especially for those of us who are single. I want you to say these words after me. I'm single. Come on, I want us all to say, I'm single. For those of us who are married, you're trying to figure out, why am I saying this? We're saying this for our brothers and sisters who are single, but battle feeling lonely. To let them know, you're not in this by yourself. You don't have to feel the pressure to feel like you got to be married to be significant. No, you are valuable. If you get married, awesome. I want us to say this together. I'm single, but not alone. I'm loved by Jesus, loved by his people. I have value. I have purpose. Yes, you do. You're loved by God. You have purpose. So I'm going to invite us all to stand to our feet. All of us in here, whether we're single or we're married, we all feel different pressures. Pressures to perform, pressures to fit in, pressures to try to acquiesce to what culture may say, to what maybe other people may say. But I want you to understand that in Christ Jesus, you're whole. That in Christ Jesus, you have purpose. That you don't have to aim to be something that God has not ordained you to be. You aim for him. You shoot for him. You pursue him. You seek after him. He brings you fulfillment. He brings you satisfaction.
So just with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here in this moment, whether you're single or whether you're married, some of you are here, you're watching online, you're in this place, and you are battling feelings of loneliness right now. You're battling feelings of inadequacy. You feel as if you're not worth anything. You feel as if you have no value. I want you to know that you do have value. I want you to know that you do have purpose. I want you to know that God is for you. He's not against you. He has a plan. He has purpose for you. He wants to do phenomenal things in your life. And he proved that by sending his son Jesus to the cross to bridge the gap between us and God, so that in him we can be close, so that in him we won't be far away from him. I want you to know today that in Christ Jesus, you can come home. In Christ Jesus, you can be set free. In Christ Jesus, you can be made new. In Christ Jesus, your sins can be washed away. Past, present, future, doesn't matter what you did. In Jesus Christ, you are complete. So if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I'm going to say yes to Jesus. I'm going to receive him as my Lord. I'm going to receive him as my Savior. I want to invite you to say these words after me. It's a prayer of faith. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me new life. Thank you for new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for your love. Thank you for completing me. In Jesus' name, amen.